Actually, I can easily take off some time from this. Because it's more a state of affairs. For those who have followed a bit what happens with context, I don't know how many context users left. I told in one of your first days that we are doing this big rewrite, and there are two areas left where I still have a lot of pending, well, not really a lot, but a couple of pending files that need to look at. And one category of always tricky things is structure, although there's more tedious work than complex work. And the other one is everything that relates to the page builder, which is always tedious work and complex work. I've got the wrong title on this one, I see. Okay. You should read another title on that. Everybody here knows, of course, that tech is basically, tech is a paragraph processing machinery. And so what tech does, it collects paragraphs, and then it does something with it. In between, so when it is collecting paragraphs, there can be certain conditions raised when it executes what's called the output routine. For me, this was one of the last things I really learned about tech, because it's also one of the more complex aspects. In Lua tech, we have a bit of a different situation. You can also do the things in between. But anyway, at that moment you can do something with the paragraph that you have collected so far. You can, for instance, turn it into a page. Yeah, you can say, I've collected enough, and the signal was that I have enough for a page. So you can wrap it up and make a page out of it. Or you can, of course, push it back. LuaTeX has a few bonuses. In LuaTeX we can also intercept content more places, for instance at the beginning of a paragraph or the end of the paragraph, in a different way as I described. But anyway, the everything that relates to page building is triggered in a different way. The page builder basically comes into action if a special penalty is put in the main vertical list. Now, if you talk about columns, you say, okay, I've collected enough stuff to make this page, and the page should contain columns. And I think it's very important that you realize that tech doesn't know it has no concept. Basically, it doesn't even have a concept of a page. And so if it doesn't have a concept of a page, it definitely doesn't have a concept of columns. You can just say tech cannot typeset columns. That is quite true in that sense. This means that if you are typesetting things in columns, you have to basically trick the machinery into doing it. And I tend to think you just fake it. Basically, typesetting columns is faking columns. And you do this by just typesetting on a narrower width. So you get something very long, and then you can split it into, for instance, two columns. It's good to keep in mind that, for instance, in context, you don't always have to think in columns this way, like something that happens on the page. For instance, the tabulate mechanism, I showed it a few days before, can also cross the page, and you can use it to typeset things in columns that cross the page boundary. And actually, in many cases, that mechanism is quite okay for doing column stuff. Then in context we have other mechanisms, like there is something called simple columns that can take some stuff and box it, split it, you can put it alongside. This is typically stuff that you will use if you are, for instance, typesetting a table of contents and you want to put the you have chapter sections and you say, okay, I want to have my subsections in columns, like that. For that you can use simple columns. Another example of a sort of mixed use of columns is itemize. You can say, I want my itemize to be in three columns. This is a relatively easy variant of columns, because it's normally only text. And but on the other hand, it can cross the page boundary, so it has to be a little bit clever in the sense that it can carry over information to the next page. So that's where we use a mixed one-column, multi-column model. Then we have column sets. Column sets is actually, you define sort of, you define a grid, and you put all kinds of stuff on a grid. And then that can be images or text or whatever, and then it gets typeset in these, what we call column sets. The oldest mechanisms is just multi-columns. Mixed multi-one columns, and that mechanism was actually due to an overhaul. That's what I spent now some words on. The problem with a multi-column, a real multi-column mechanism, is, for instance, that you need to take into account footnotes. So you can have footnotes. Say, there are several cases you can think of. You think, I start single column, which has footnotes, multi-column, which has footnotes, single column, which has footnotes. So how do they need to end up on the page? Yeah. Are the footnotes attached to the column piece, or are they attached to the whole page? That's one way of looking at it. Another way is that you say, okay, I want all my footnotes at the end of the page. So that means that the multi-column and the single column mechanisms, if they are used intermixed, need at least to be aware of a concept of page and where to put the stuff. Or I purely doing columns, it can be that you say I want all my footnotes in the column where they refer to, or I want my columns, my footnotes all in the first column or the last column, things like that. That's a complex operation, because footnotes might not preferable not move to the next page, so it has to be taken into account when you split off the page. And then there are graphics. You can have graphics in a column. If it doesn't fit, it has to be moved to the next page. You need to keep in mind, because Steph doesn't have a model of columns, you know, the way to fake multi-columns is to say, for instance, say that you have three columns on a page, is that you take a width of 1/3 of the normal width, and a virtual page which is three times as large, and then you have to move the graphics around, and you can easily be on a crossing, a virtual crossing of a column. But that's a bit of a mess. Floats. Then you can have nesting. You can have columns in columns. Yeah. And that means that as the text output routine is operating on the outermost level of your document processing, the local columns cannot do that. So somehow it has to work together. Then we have balancing. Say that you have two final columns and you want them to be of equal height, and you want to take into account footnotes, floats, and everything else that I mentioned. You can imagine that it's a bit, can be a bit of a race condition to get that kind of stuff right. This is one of the reasons why, for instance, column sets don't do that. They can do very complex things, but not balancing because of that. And that's why I wanted to spend some words on this whole mess is because I'm working on it, and because, well, users here, you can ask yourself the question, do I really have to spend time on multi-columns? Do I really have to make I can make a basic mechanism, but I can also say forget about it. Who uses columns nowadays? You know, columns is from the time of typesetting journals. A lot of journals go online. Columns online hardly make any sense, unless maybe we get devices where we more or less go back to the page, maybe. But on the other hand, we don't have to save paper. Yeah? Saving screens is...
But reading, if you put a 10pt font in a A4 wide line...
But if you have...
Lenses which are out of... standard, easily, if you can't easily follow that anymore, you lose contact when you start moving your eyes over to the begin of the next line.
That's
the biggest problem.
But if you see people here with electronic reading devices, they are all like this.
But the laptop screens are all like this.
Well, I wish I could buy a leopard skin like this, yeah? They're becoming... they become like flat...
multicolored ones also.
Yeah. So, you know, the thing is, there are some reasons for doing it, but some of those reasons are bound, basically, is that bound to paper, or let's say it is stimulated, the idea was stimulated by paper. So you might, at least, you can ask yourself the question, do I want to have all the complicated issues, even things as footnotes. If you have an electronic device, you can roll your mouse over a number and see the footnote in place, instead of seeing it at the bottom of your electronic screen. Yeah. So it's a matter of, sometimes you want, should I still spend time on something that might disappear at some point. Also because, well, nobody comes to me for asking to do typesetting work on multi-column, so why should I care? Okay, but if Volker still wants columns, then he has to tell me what functionality he wants and what things are important and what things aren't, and I'm not sure that he will answer my question. Okay, so that was more or less the short introduction. I will show a few examples just to demonstrate a bit what I've done so far on this new mechanism. It's not that impressive, but it gives an idea. No, this is talks. This is the wrong one. Is it? Okay, it didn't open the file. Okay, so. For instance, in the new mechanism, I make it. In the old mechanism, there's only columns basically. In new mechanism, Sietse should keep an eye on it because he then can document it on the wiki. New mechanisms, you can define your own classes and categories of columns. So this one, this is just test files that I run. Yeah, so this is, for instance, an example of what I call global columns. Global columns, they operate on the page. Yeah. And they need to deal with footnotes, and this is an example of footnotes in each column, but the idea is to have footnotes that you can really choose where you want to have your footnotes, in the first, in the last, or in the first and the last, or maybe only the first and the second, or things like that. But this is just test files, looking at the... This is probably not interesting, this is not interesting. Well, okay, it gives you... Actually, just the test file, you have this problem of you have a lot of top floats that are collected and need to be flushed. Well, and at some point you start doing columns, you do the things in columns. Just to give you an idea, it doesn't fit into the column, it has still to move to the top. You are on the top. And then you say, wait a minute, how much do I left at the bottom to make my columns? Should I do the balancing or not? Yeah, flows quickly make this problem very complex. The border case. I told you, so columns can be global and local. Yeah, so at this moment, it was always a bit tricky to use in the old mechanism to use and itemizes uses the multi-column mechanism to use that in, for instance, a framed text. But now with this new mechanism that can be done. So they automatically become local and you get the proper splitting and things like that. Maybe worth mentioning that most of it I do in Lua. So the whole splitting and reordering and reorganizing stuff has been moved to Lua, which is a bit easier to do. management. Yeah, so itemized, they can cross pages, things like that. Spacing always a bit of an issue. Yeah, if you think of a local column starting out at the box, there can be spacing at the top. Should it be neglected or shouldn't it? This is an example here. This shows a bit how you define such a column mechanism. So sheets should write really fast now. You can see how many you have, something in front, there can be a background, foregrounds, all kinds of stuff there, separator things. Yeah, so again, you can define in your document your own category and classes of columns.
Both columns can have different widths?
Well, there you know the answer. It's there. In theory, not. But this is something that I have in mind because I actually want to do it in the more magazine-like stuff. Because what you can do is, as soon as you split off the first part, you can actually feed the second part back into the part builder.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you know where it ends, mm-hmm. Yeah, say that you can determine where it mm-hmm. ends, you can basically feed it back in NewTek.
Okay.
In NewTek, you can just feed it back in the part builder with a different width.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And because, and that's an important thing of Lua Tech, all the hyphenation points are still there, it will work okay. You don't have to re-hyphenate or whatever. That one. Well, this is not really interesting. Yeah, so these are typically might not entirely show from the things. You know, if you do this kind of column stuff, you always have to set up make sure that the stuff fits into columns. So there's a little bit of interference or interaction with mechanisms or also responsible for tolerance and things like that. I'm still not sure if I should bring that into the general setup. This is things that you usage will have to tell me. Yeah, so this is columns inside columns. So again, you can have background behind the whole thing, background you have the columns. Both things are also columns. So you define these thingies this way.
Can you define spacing on the border?
Yeah, you can. You can define all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Offsets. Mm. The thing is, it's actually the amount of code is compared to it with what I had in the old system, not that large, because when I wrote my first multi-column stuff, a lot of context was not in place, and now a lot of things are in place. But I can use existing mechanisms. The whole framing and bordering, what is all using generic low-level stuff. So it automatically can use and inherit all the properties that these subsystems have. So that's why, for some mechanisms, it's much more easy to say, throw away your old code, start new, than to start patching your own old code. That, well, I need to be compatible to a certain extent, yeah? So you end up with some stuff, but not all of it. So that's a bit what I wanted to tell about mixed columns, just to give an idea to the user what's coming and what they can expect and what they can ask for. Any questions about that? No, because you don't use columns. Yes?
Nevertheless.
You said that itemize with columns used the multi-column mechanism and it now uses mixed columns?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Actually, there were some time ago on the list there was an issue reported with the nested stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought, well, I can look into that. It was some kind of complex interaction. I said, I can either look into that or I can now start writing new mechanism and sort it that way. So it was actually a question on the list about some complex interaction in itemize that made me do this way. The old stuff is still there. You can enable it if you want, but yeah, it's good to know. It's probably something that should be noted somewhere that it uses the new mechanism. Yeah.
So if somebody now writes start itemize option columns, then the mixed will be used, and the old stuff is accessible with the keyword, or would you have?
No. It's not even called for.
Okay.
It's there. So they it used to be that if you did columns in itemize,
yeah,
that it would switch to column mode.
Okay.
And now it still does, but it switches to the other column mode mechanism. Yeah. Well, in theory, that should be possible. The thing is, we still have this critical edition project with Idris and Thomas Schmid that we need to pick up. The thing with critical editions is, I think 90% is there. Yeah. The thing is, somebody has to wrap it up and write it down and tell me the missing bits and pieces. But in many cases, critical editions is, well, it could be columns, but it's mostly has to do with footnotes and things like that. So the whole thing like nested footnotes, multiple footnotes, footnote categories. I showed only one category, but it worked for all categories, things like that.
What about synchronized columns?
Yeah, that's the next thing. That's what we call streams.
Streams.
Yeah. Streams is next on the agenda for if we look at the page building stuff. There's some experimental stream stuff, but I will make that better, the synchronization, yeah. The question is if it should go into this column mechanism or if it's just a new mechanism. It's probably a new thing. Easier. Sometimes it's easier to just come up with something new. I have two things that need to be synchronized. It's not necessarily the same as one column that I'm going to split. Sometimes easier to write them in something in parallel than to just still put it in one stream and split it out.
Yeah.
So parallel stuff is basically what's now present in experimental form as switching output routines and switching output streams, basically.
So different column widths in streams would be more
important. In streams that would be less an issue.
And more important.
Probably more important, yeah. So maybe next time that some of that will be finished. It's not really complicated. It's more like, okay, I need a good reason and time and, you know, the whole thing. Yeah. No more questions?
In which files did you put that so that we can look into the sources a bit? Because I believe that the documentation is not ready.
All these files that I show are in the test suite. And the file is multi-mix. it's not multi, it's page mix. It's now
okay.
Page mix. All this kind of stuff sits in page.